Cleve came back from his trip to the Orient. "I just don't understand that world," he said in a strange, baffled voice. "I can see what's happening in front of my eyes in Shanghai or Tokyo, but can't analyze it. I might as well be on Mars or Neptune." He paused and looked at me. "Are you all right?" he asked. "Much the better for seeing you after all these years." We'd spent the afternoon making love in my apartment. Now we were in the cafe of the Hotel Lafayette on University Place. I was drinking gin and orange. Cleve had an Americano. On the table next to us, two old men were playing checkers. I lit a Pall Mall. "Did anything happen while I was away?" he asked, aware of my mood, prickly, almost resentful. "Lots of things happened. The world didn't stop turning, Cleve." The Lord High Treasurer of England crept down the stairs. He was too old to be travelling about in the late afternoon, alone, in January. I followed him to the landing, watching his progress with concern. "Go with him, Francois," I urged her. "And make sure Lord Burleigh finds his own servants." They were probably at the Cardinal's Hat getting inebriated with Kit and Will, or waiting in the crush of coaches at the top of Water Lane. I didn't want to be the last person to see the Queen of England's chief adviser alive. "No need, no need," Burleigh said over his shoulder. "I am an old man with a stick. The thieves will ignore me in favour of someone with an earring and a slashed doublet. The beggars I can beat off if need be, and my men are not far from here. Remember my advice, mistress." With that, he disappeared into the dusk. "Dieu!" Francois crossed herself, then forked her fingers against the evil eye for good measure. "He is an old soul. I do not like the way he looked at you. It is a good thing Milord is not yet home. He would not have liked it either."
"William Cecil is old enough to be my grandfather, Francois," I retorted, returning to the warmth of the parlour and, finally, loosening my laces. I groaned as the constriction lessened.
"Lord Burleigh did not look at you as though he wanted to bed you." Francois glanced pointedly at my bodice.
"No? How did he look at me then?"
I poured myself some wine and plopped down in my chair. The day was taking a decided turn for the worse.
"Like you were a lamb ready for slaughter, and he was weighing the price you would bring,"